Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will feature the Linus Pauling Institute, a research institute of Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon. The Linus Pauling Institute investigates the function and role of micronutrients, phytochemicals, and dietary supplements in maintaining human health and preventing and treating disease. Named after Dr. Linus Pauling, one of the world's greatest scientists and humanitarians, the Linus Pauling Institute advances the scientific knowledge in areas which were of interest to Dr. Pauling. Today we will talk with Linus Pauling Institute's endowed chair and director and professor in the College of Public Health and Human Sciences at Oregon State University, Dr. Emily Ho, PhD. Dr. Ho will discuss diet, nutritional supplements, optimal health, and the Institute's healthy aging program.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
On today's program, we are featuring the Linus Pauling Institute, which is located on the campus of Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon. The Linus Pauling Institute is a working scientific tribute to the life work of one of the greatest scientists and humanitarians, Dr. Linus Pauling. Now, Dr. Pauling was of great inspiration to me personally as I pursued the nutritional sciences as a career. And I had the honor of personally working with Dr. Pauling and his assistant, Dr. Fred Stitt, when I was a volunteer nutritionist for the Linus Pauling Institute of Science and Medicine when it was located in Palo Alto, California, near Stanford University. Dr. Linus Pauling was a remarkable and brilliant scientist who had the curiosity and yearning to understand the mysteries of nature. In his own words, he talks about this.
I like to understand the world. I like to learn about new ideas. I like to think about problems, look at them in different ways, and finally get an answer to them.
Dr. Pauling was convinced that understanding structure was the key to understanding the health of the human body. Here, Dr. Pauling elaborates on this.
To understand the human body, we must know its structure in terms of the cells that make it up. If we want to understand cells, we must know their structure in terms of molecules. If we want to understand molecules, we must know their structure in terms of atoms. And to understand atoms, we must know their structure in terms of electrons and nuclei. To understand nuclei, as the physicists are trying to do now, we must learn their structure in terms of protons and neutrons.
Dr. Pauling was fascinated with the architecture of the molecules of life as it related to the human body and its function. Pauling's involvement with human physiology and health dominated the last three decades of his research career. He became increasingly interested in the highly complex molecules within the body. As a result, he sought to understand the structure of proteins.
Know a good bit about the structure of simple molecules. Now the time has come when we can learn something about the structure of complicated molecules, too. The human body contains many kinds of molecules, such as the water molecule, H2O, with only three atoms in it. Also, many very complicated molecules, among which are the protein. Proteins are very important substances. I think that a human being may well have in his body as many as 100,000 different kinds of protein.
Dr. Pauling later developed the concept of orthomolecular medicine. The concept, in turn, characterized an approach to the prevention and treatment of disease and attainment of optimum health that was based on physiological and enzymatic actions of specific nutrients such as vitamins, minerals, and amino acids present in the body. Dr. Pauling is often considered the founding father of molecular biology, which has transformed the biological sciences and medicine and provided the base of biotechnology. In 1954, Linus Pauling was awarded the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. The Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences cited his seminal work on the nature of the chemical bond and the structure of molecules and crystals, and also acknowledged his application of the resulting concepts to the elucidation of the structure of proteins, specifically the alpha helix. Pauling's work on the nature of the chemical bond transformed the way that chemists work and think. Here, Dr. Pauling describes his discovery.
I was so excited and happy. I think I stayed up all night solving the equations, which were so simple that I could solve them in a few minutes, solve one equation and get the answer and solve another equation about the structure of octahedral complexes, such as the ferrocyanide ion in potassium ferrocyanide. And it didn't take me long to write a long paper about the nature of the chemical bond. That was a great experience.
Dr. Linus Pauling was a remarkable man, a multifaceted genius, and a master for communicating and explaining difficult medical and scientific information in an understandable way. When we come back, we will talk with Dr. Emily Ho, Ph.D., the endowed chair and director of the Linus Pauling Institute.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Our special guest today on Health and Longevity is Dr. Emily Ho, Ph.D. Dr. Ho is the director of the Linus Pauling Institute and professor in the College of Public Health and Human Sciences at Oregon State University. Her research focuses on the understanding of the mechanisms by which nutrient status in healthy foods affect the initiation and or progression of chronic diseases such as cancer. Dr. Ho's work has helped drive dietary requirements and recommendations for micronutrients such as zinc for communities with susceptibility to poor nutrition. An important strength to her approach in her research is maintaining a mechanistic focus on diet and environmental interactions and encouraging to work in multidisciplinary teams to facilitate the translation of cellular mechanistic studies to impact human populations. Prior to becoming director of the Linus Pauling Institute, Dr. Ho was the endowed director of the Moore Family Center for Whole Grains, Nutrition, and Prevention in the College of Public Health and Human Sciences. Dr. Ho obtained her B.S. degree in Nutritional Sciences at the University of Guelph, Ontario, Canada, and she obtained her doctorate in Nutrition Sciences at Ohio State University. Well, Dr. Ho, thank you so much for being with us today on Health and Longevity.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us, first of all, a little bit about what the mission of the Linus Pauling Institute is there at Oregon State University.
Absolutely. So the research programs at the Linus Pauling Institute investigate the role that vitamins and essential minerals and phytochemicals play a role in human aging, immune function, and chronic disease. Our goal and mission is to discover and understand the mechanisms by which diet, micronutrients, and dietary supplements affect disease, initiation, and progression, and really use these discoveries in the prevention and treatment of major human diseases.
Well, tell us just briefly, we kind of talked about it previously before coming on to the discussion with you, how the Linus Pauling Institute got started and how it was established, and a little brief of Dr. Pauling's life work.
Absolutely. So starting a little bit about Dr. Pauling. So He's really regarded as one of the greatest scientists of the 20th century. And in particular, he is considered to be one of the founders of the field of quantum chemistry and molecular biology. But he really was a Renaissance man with a really dynamic personality and a wide range of interests. Dr. Pauling has got more than several thousand books and papers that deal with topics such as chemical bonding, crystal structures, but also medicine and health. And in addition to that, he also was very active in humanitarian causes and war and peace. As you know, he's the only person to have held two unshared Nobel Prizes, one in chemistry and the other in peace. So at the Institute, we really try to embrace Dr. Pauling's values, both in terms of scientific discovery, but also making impact on people's lives as well. So Linus Pauling spent most of his academic career in California, where he was at Caltech, University of California, and then Stanford. But after he retired from Stanford, he co-founded a nonprofit biomedical research organization that at that time was called the Institute of Orthomolecular Medicine. And that was in 1973. In 1974, the following year, they decided to rename the institute to bear his own name and became the Linus Pauling Institute of Science and Medicine. After Dr. Pauling's death in 1994, his son, Linus Pauling Jr., and the current CEO of the institute, Steve Lawson, started to look at a new home for the institute. So although he spent a lot of his scientific career in California, Oregon State was actually another natural choice. Some of your listeners may not know, but Dr. Pauling was born in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. He was also an alum of Oregon State University. He studied there from 1917 to 1922, where he obtained a degree in chemical engineering. Oregon State was also already the home of the Ava, Helen, and Pauling scientific collections, which have over 500,000 items in terms of Pauling's personal and scientific papers, correspondences, photographs, awards. I'd also like to note that OSU is where he met his wife, as well. He was teaching a course called Chemistry for Home Economic Majors at Oregon State. So he definitely has a lot of ties to Oregon State. So in 1996, the Linus Pauling Institute relocated to Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon, where it now operates as one of the university's flagship research centers and institutes.
Well, just a little background on myself and my contact, and I've actually had a little history with the Linus Pauling Institute. At that time, it was called the Linus Pauling Institute of Science and Medicine. Back in the early 1990s, you know, Dr. Pauling was getting so many letters. He wrote this book, you know, How to Live Longer and Feel Better. And for a few years, he was getting hundreds of letters every week. And his assistant, which is a volunteer, a colleague of his previously, Dr. Fred Stitt, was helping him and write those letters. And I actually was an assistant to Dr. Pauling and Dr. Fred Stitt in helping answer all these nutrition questions that were coming in.
Wow.
That people were asking. And because I have also a little background in botanical medicine and a little knowledge of herbal medicine, those are questions they couldn't answer at all. And as well as my nutrition background. So I actually helped Dr. Pauling in crafting some of the answers to the questions that he would send out in his letters. So it was a real honor to have the opportunity. I was actually a volunteer nutritionist for that, but the experience to meet with him and talk with him and help him in with his correspondence was a great honor. So, and of course, at that time, it was the Linus Pauling Institute of Science and Medicine. It was by Stanford University, not too far from Stanford at that time. Now, Dr. Pauling was very interested, and you mentioned it, in orthomolecular medicine. What is orthomolecular medicine?
Yeah, that's a great question. So orthomolecular medicine really comes down to the concept of the right molecules at the right time and in the right concentration. Mm-hmm. Pauling, for many, many decades, he was really a leader, an innovator in terms of the importance of vitamins and other essential nutrients. And he really started to think about these vitamins as early as the 1930s. In the 60s, he became more intrigued with the concept of the biochemistry of nutrition. And in 1968, he published a seminal paper that coined this term orthomolecular psychiatry, which really introduced the concept that imbalances or deficiencies in vitamins and minerals could be an alternative to helping with mental abnormalities as an alternative to some of the drugs that were currently available. He later broadened, though, this concept to the term orthomolecular medicine. And again, this concept of the right molecules at the right time, at the right concentration, is really applicable in terms of an approach in the prevention and treatment of disease and the attainment of optimal health that's based on the physiological and specific actions of these nutrients, the vitamins and minerals present in the body, and that their right concentration at the right time is critical in terms of maintaining human health.
Now, of course, he was very interested in the study, as you mentioned, micronutrients as they related to health and well-being. And for those listeners that may not know, what are micronutrients? Tell us what micronutrients are and how they function in the body.
Sure. So the micronutrients, as I've mentioned, are essential components to our health. They can be subdivided into two major groups. One, the vitamins, which are organic molecules, and the minerals, which are inorganic metals. These compounds are all required for various specific cellular processes for our bodies to work properly. And our bodies can't synthesize them in sufficient amounts. So we need to get them from outside sources, like the diet. In some cases, our bodies can't make the vitamin or mineral at all. But there are a few cases, like with vitamin D, where our bodies can produce some of the vitamin, but still not in sufficient amounts to meet our needs. Compared to the macronutrients, so macro needing big. So the macronutrients are things like carbohydrate, protein, and fats. The micronutrients, micro meaning small, are required in relatively small amounts. But although our bodies only require a small amount, even small deficits can have big impacts on our health. And currently there are about 30 vitamins and minerals that all have some essential function in our bodies.
Now, of course, the big debate in nutrition circles, and I've been through this all my career, they say, you know, there's no sense in, you know, you get all your vitamins and minerals from your diet. And the question, of course, and the controversy often is, well, do we really get all our vitamins and minerals through our diet? And do we get enough? What are your thoughts on that?
No, that's a great question. So if you're consistently consuming a regular balanced diet, you should be able to meet the majority of your micronutrient needs. However, we know that the average American is not eating a healthy, balanced diet, and likely to have some deficits in some of those essential micronutrients. But even for those health-conscious individuals, it can be difficult to eat a consistent, healthy diet perfectly all the time. So taking something like a supplemental multivitamin, multimineral, acts as just what we like to call kind of additional insurance and backup to make sure that you're meeting your needs. However, there are some times in your life and certain situations and certain outside factors where the micronutrient need of your body may be elevated. And in those cases, getting supplemental forms of the vitamin or mineral may be even more important. A good example of that is during pregnancy. So during pregnancy, there is a vitamin called folate, which is a B vitamin that's very essential for human development. And during pregnancy, because of the needs of both the mom and the developing baby, your folate needs are massively increased during pregnancy. And in that case, it may be difficult to get the folate that you need just from diet, and a supplement may be necessary. So there are several examples of scenarios like that, where there are certain situations that supplemental forms of these vitamins and minerals may be more applicable.
So you, like Dr. Linus Pauling, would recommend including some dietary supplements as part of a healthy lifestyle?
Yes, absolutely. Again, I personally do take a daily multivitamin, multimineral, especially during the current time. We're currently facing a global pandemic where infection is something that is surrounding us. Mm-hmm. And that may be a time where our basal needs may be elevated because of environmental factors. Again, I have a nutrition background. I know what I'm supposed to be doing in terms of a healthy diet. I have a busy life. I've got two boys at home as well. So I know that I'm not always able to be perfect all the time as well. And I'm able to give myself that grace because I also have some of this backup in terms of I do take a multivitamin, multimineral each day as well. We're really trying to, at the Institute, learn more in terms of kind of what are these special situations in terms of people that may need a little bit extra to meet their optimal health. A lot of the controversy is we know very clearly what vitamins and minerals we need for our basal health, so to prevent deficiencies.
Right.
But the amount of vitamin and minerals we need for optimal health may be a little bit different and may be sometimes higher and sometimes maybe lower, depending on who you are, what your situation may be.
Well, I think that's a good point because as Dr. Pauling, you know, he would often talk about, I remember he would hold up a test tube and he says, this is how much vitamin C a billy goat has. And, you know, he makes his own vitamin C and quite a bit of vitamin C. And then he holds up another test tube and there's just a few flecks of ascorbic acid at the bottom. This is the amount that's recommended. And I think the billy knows more. And he was trying to emphasize that for optimal health, you need optimal levels of nutrients, not just the amount just to prevent a deficiency disease. Well, Dr. Ho, on Monday, February 28th, there's a special event. It's actually been proclaimed Linus Pauling Day. Tell us a little bit about Linus Pauling Day. How did that get started? And what type of things do you do on that day?
Yeah, no, it's a big day for the Linus Pauling Institute. The Institute celebrates Linus Pauling's birthday, which happens to be February 28th, every year. This has been proclaimed Linus Pauling Day in the state of Oregon by several of the Oregon governors. And we really use this day to celebrate the legacy of Dr. Linus Pauling and the scientific achievements of the Institute.
Well, that's great. And I know usually every year there's some special events going on, and there's one that's going to be taking place this year on Monday, February 28th, and you're doing a special free webinar. Tell us about this webinar. I know it's on vitamin C. Tell us about it and who's involved in it, and then we'll figure out how people could sign up.
Yeah. So since I became the director of the Institute, we've really used Linus Pauling Day as our kickoff to educational offerings for the year. Similar to Dr. Pauling, we really want to make sure that our science has an impact, and that means getting the science out to the people. So last year, we had a panel discussion with some of the world's experts of Dr. Pauling's favorite vitamin, vitamin C, and we had such a huge response, and to be honest, so many questions we just didn't have time for, so we really wanted to have a follow-up. So this year, the webinar is going to feature some short presentations from two world-renowned vitamin C experts, Dr. Jeannie Driscoll and Dr. Kay Chen. And there'll also be a question and answer session. Both are, again, are world leaders in the use of vitamin C as therapy, and in particular have a lot of amazing work with the benefits of vitamin C in its IV form. For cancer treatment and other disorders as well. So it's going to be a fascinating presentation. You don't want to miss it.
And it's called Beyond the Common Cold, Emerging Roles for Vitamin C in Health. And of course, those who have followed Dr. Pauling remember vitamin C in the common cold years ago and the flu and discussions on all that. And this kind of is looking in different areas and the role of vitamin C for health benefits, and it sounds like even therapeutic benefits. So you're talking about.
Yeah, like I said, they've done some really groundbreaking work with the use of IV vitamin C, and especially for cancer prevention. Actually, not cancer prevention, cancer therapeutics, especially in some of the cancers that are really tough to treat. I think they've been doing a little bit of work with COVID as well. So they might be able to ask some questions about that emerging area as well.
So that's going to be Monday, February 28th, and the live webinar is going to be 11 a.m. Pacific time. And of course, our listeners 3 hours ahead of that for those on the East Coast.
Yeah, the registration and information about the webinar can be found at the Institute's website, which is lpi.org. oregonstate.edu. So you can register there. If you can't make the webinar, though, we always make sure that our offerings are available online, either on our website or our YouTube page as well. So even if you can't make it with us at the time on February 28th, you'll be able to catch it afterwards.
Now, give us that website address again.
Sure. It's lpi.oregonstate.edu.
Okay. And if you didn't get that, you can just Google Linus Pauling Institute and you'll find it and get right into it. And I think it's right on the front page telling about it.
Yeah. And when you hit that page, you'll be able to see last year's webinar as well. Many other webinars that we've had on various aspects of health and nutritional bioactives, healthy aging. I did one on cancer prevention as well. There's also another resource there called the Micronutrient Information Center, which is another fabulous resource for everything that you want to know about micronutrients, vitamin C, but all the other micronutrients as well, and your health.
And I highly recommend it to my friends and colleagues and patients to go there to get great information. And you put the newsletter up there that you put out. There's wonderful information on the Linus Pauling Institute website. So go there. And I highly recommend our listeners, if you're available or you can watch it later on, sign up for this webinar. All these Linus Pauling Institute webinars are fabulous. And if you're doing it live, you can even get in there and post some questions and you might even have that answered by one of the speakers. Well, Dr. Ho, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
February 28th has been declared by the state of Oregon as Linus Pauling Day to commemorate the life of Dr. Linus Pauling. To learn more about the Linus Pauling Day activities and the free Vitamin C and Health webinar that's being sponsored by the Linus Pauling Institute, visit lpi.oregonstate.edu. In closing today's program, it was back in 1987 that Dr. Linus Pauling summed up, in his own words, the secret to his outstanding career.
You aren't going to have good ideas unless you have lots of ideas and some sort of principle of selection.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
That's it for this week's program, and we encourage you to tune in next week to Health and Longevity. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.